The Shus Marina Rav Shlita. Well, if I run a business and I sell goods and I sell goods on the internet and 30 million people in this country are actually buying now, doing their shopping on the internet, may I leave my website open on Shabbos? That is the crucial question. Not only Shabbos, but also on Yom Tov. If you go on the Art Scroll website straight after Shabbos, while it's still Shabbos in America, you will not be able to access it. They actually write on the screen, and I had a look at it last night after Havdalah, it says on it, Shabbat Shalom, welcome to Art Scroll, in keeping with the commandment of remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, this site rests on the Sabbath and does not perform e-commerce. We are sorry for any inconvenience, but Art Scroll's mission has always been to preserve our tradition and to educate the Jewish people of their beautiful heritage. Because of this holy mission and in keeping with the living spirit of the Torah, we have respectfully closed this site on our eternal day of rest. Please visit us again on Saturday night, New York City time. However, if you go on other Orthodox Jewish websites, those which are selling Sifrei Kodesh, for example, they are open, trading as usual. They don't write on it, Shabbos business as usual, but they're open. And there's nothing to stop you going into their shopping carts and in their checkout and buying Sforim or CDs or whatever. And that is on Shabbos. Well, I mean, you might not be doing so because for you Shabbos is out, but in America it's still Shabbos. And somebody who's in Israel, yeah, where there's 7 hours difference, I know somebody was complaining in Israel, even on Sunday morning he still had problems getting into the Art Scroll website. So the question is it allowed? And if so, on what grounds can it be allowed? You're not allowed to do business on Shabbos. You can't have your office open 7 days a week. So on what basis can it be allowed? Now, I'm a bit of a novice at the, I don't really know how to do many things on the computer like the youngsters do. And you know what they say, if you don't know how to do it, ask a 10-year-old. And, you know, once I bought something on the internet, and, you know, you ask for a toaster, and you click it, and you put in your credit card, but nothing seems to happen, so you click it again, and nothing seems to happen, so you click it again. And then the wife calls up to you 3 days later, why do we have the postman delivering 3 toasters? All right, use one for Milchik, one for Fleischik, one for Pesachtik. And of course, there is the fundamental question about using the internet at all. There is a sefer called Hamachashev Le'or HaLocha, which is anonymous. The author does not give his name, and one wonders why. Although he's got Askomas, which reveal that he is the Rosh Yeshiva of a place called Chaim Moshe in Yerushalayim, but it doesn't say his name, and in Askomas he tipexes his name out. And he says, Isur Gomel Ishtamish but internet. It is a complete prohibition to use the internet. Afina the Tzorchei Parnoso. He says even for Parnoso purposes, there the Haredis did say for Parnoso it's alright. There are pitfalls in the internet and there are immoral problems about the internet. But nevertheless, a few pages later he's got a few lines which deal with using the internet on Shabbos that maybe it's okay for certain reasons. But And the questions can be as follows. Number one, you're buying and selling, or are you? You're selling. Number two, is there a din of Shavisas Kalim? Your utensils should rest you on Shabbos. Number three, Lifnei Iver. If somebody Jewish goes on the website, are you providing them with a facility by which they will be doing an Avera? And then there is a question of Maris Ayin. You know, this Jew is doing business on Shabbos, and it's a reflection on you, and diminishing on your reputation. And then there's a question of, well, if I am doing a prohibition by trading, is it all right if I get a non-Jewish partner involved, that he gets the profit? Is that okay? Then there's a question of Zilzul Shabbos. Are we insulting the Shabbos by having a website open? And then there's a further major question, and that is a kinyan taking place? If somebody goes on your website on Shabbos, and does the clicking and enters their credit card number with the expiry date, is the kinyan valid from that moment or is it valid later? And we'll have a look at that. And of course, the obvious question is Schar Shabbos. You're making money, which is as a result of activity on Shabbos. So these are the issues we're going to try and look at. Now, as a prelude, buying and selling is not really a melacha on Shabbos. It's not one of the 39 melachas which are listed in the Mishnah, the second Mishnah in the seventh perek of Shabbos, which are based on the melachas HaMishkan. But nevertheless, the prophet Nehemiah says in chapter Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yud Zayin, that the people who are buying and selling are desecrators of the Shabbos. And anyone who has their shop open on Shabbos, who declares, well, they're not doing any one of the 39 melachas just by taking money, they are called Mechalalei Shabbos B'Fahesya. So it's no easy joke. And certainly a person who is trading on Shabbos is regarded as a Mechalal Shabbos B'Fahesya. Indeed, according to the Ramban, in Vayikra, Kaf Gimel, Kaf Dalet, he indicates on the Pasuk Yelachem Shabboson that buying and selling is an Issur D'Oraisa. Even though it's not within the 39 melachas, it still comes within the category of transgressing against Shabboson, which there is talking about Yom Tov, but it applies to Shabbos as well. Nevertheless, if we look in the Rambam, Perek Kaf Gimel Yud Beis, and other Rishonim, it's generally clear that it's a din d'rabbonon, buying and selling, but nevertheless, Mechalal Shabbos d'rabbonon is no easy task to dismiss lightly. And Mishnah Berurah in Shin Vav Lamed Beis brings this as a din d'rabbonon. And the Gemara in Beis HaKaf Zayin Amud Beis explains that there are many Gezeiros D'Rabbanon which were enacted in order to prevent the melacha of writing. And doing business easily lends itself to writing. Now, the Shevet HaLevi is asked on this very question using the internet, and his latest volume deals with 10 years ago when the internet was already active. And he is very surprised that anybody could think about doing such a thing. He said it's just like having one's office open 7 days a week. And he has asked the question as to whether there may be a heter based on the principle of havlah. Havlah literally means swallowing up. For example, if somebody is a caterer and he's doing a kiddush on Shabbos, he is preparing the food on the weekday, and as he's preparing the food on the weekday, then you're paying him for the work that he's done during the week, and you're not paying him for working on Shabbos. So that is called a havlah, that the money is being used for something else, namely for the work which has been done on the weekday. The same shaila arises with someone who does babysitting on Shabbos. If you're paying them for it, you really should be paying them for something they'd be doing on the weekday. And if you run a hotel and you have a guest who comes just for Shabbos and they're paying you just for Shabbos, are you earning money on Shabbos? Well, in a way you are, but you had to get the beds ready beforehand, you had to clean the room beforehand. So the money that you are receiving, and this is brought down in Shmir Shabbos Kil Chosso and Kaf Tes Ayin and also Kaf Ches in Samach Beis, that there is an idea of Havlah. So, the Chazan as well, yeah, you're right, the Chazan is the man who is practicing all week long in order to perform properly in Shul. Thank you. We say a din of Havlah, that the Chazan is not called working on Shabbos. The Rabbi too. And so the question is put to him, that what if you're running a music site on the web where you're selling recordings and people can download, say you're having a membership. So the suggestion is put to the Shevet HaLevi that somebody who has a membership who might therefore download from your website on Shabbos as well, maybe that's a Havlah. And he dismisses this. He says this can't be called Havlah. Whereas with the babysitting and catering and the hotel guests and the chazan you can say havlah, he is of the view that you can't say havlah with buying on the internet on Shabbos. He says because pe'ulas Shabbos nechsheves bifnei atzmo, because each individual deal which is done on the internet is something on its own, and he says it's comparable to if you're running a laundrette. If you're having lots of washing machines on Shabbos in a laundrette, you say, oh well, I'm not in there, it's running all automatically by itself. He says, you can't do that. You can't have your laundrette open on Shabbos. And it's not comparable, he says, to the warm mikveh which people might use on Shabbos, which they're paying for, but it's warmed up before Shabbos, and you're paying before Shabbos, you're using it during the week. He said, it's not comparable. And he refers to another tshuva he gave in Chelek Hei Kaf Ches, that you can't, he says, you can't put out a vending machine which gives you a schar Shabbos. And he says you're doing a lifnei ivel esitin nishan, you're putting a stumbling block before the blind, you are mesaila d'var aveira, you're helping somebody do something, a transgression. And he says it's a chilul Hashem. He says in emergency, but makom hefsed meruva, you might sell your business to a goy and he allows some sort of heter there. But generally he is very strict indeed. We will find that there are others who come to a different view, and particularly when you see so many Haimish websites selling Svarim which are in fact open on Shabbos. So you might say, well, it's nothing to do with me, I just happen to have this open the whole week, and I'm not intending to do any business on Shabbos. It's simply a matter of other people, they want to do an Aveira. Do I have to spend money to close down my website on Shabbos? Apparently it's very expensive to close down a website just for Shabbos, but Art Scroll do it. And do I have to spend a lot of money in order that somebody else shouldn't do an Aveira? Well, there is a principle on this as well in Shas. I'm not mechuyev to have to spend a lot of money and also stop someone doing an Aveira. And that principle comes up in the question of bank machines, service till machines. And the question has come up from banks in Israel, like the Bank HaMizrahi. They have service till machines, or bankomat as they call it there, where somebody might come along on Shabbos to draw money out. Well, you might say they're not selling, but they might be providing a facility where others are doing an Aveira, so it's a Lifnei Ivela Tite Michel. Somebody might be overdrawing on his account, and as a result they'll be making money out of it. Not interest, of course, but a Shutfus. And so the Shilas arise with simply a bank machine being open on Shabbos. And in Israel, bank machines are open on Shabbos, but Lifnei Iver might not apply if a person can go somewhere else, and they can go to a different bank and draw out on their Bank Mizrahi account. So is there a Lifnei Iver at all? We learnt once before about Lifnei Iver that where the person has no other way of doing the Issa other than through you, that is a Lifnei Iver Daraisa. That is putting a stumbling block before the blind. So the run-in of Avodah Zarah Daf Vav says that that is when the Torah prohibition is only when the sinner could not have transgressed it without your help. But if he needs other help, it's still forbidden, but in Issa Drabonon. But Tosfos say on that Gemara, if that person could act without your help, then there's no Issa at all. So the question comes up in the Ramon Yeredeo Kufnun Aleph about if a person is selling items and Goyim are buying these items for idolatrous purposes, they can buy these things elsewhere, and therefore, says the Ramon, the custom is to be lenient. So on Lifnei Iver, we don't have to worry so much that you're putting a stumbling block before the blind. And on also Shavisas Kalim, the idea of your Kalim should rest for you on Shabbos is a machlokus between Hillel and Shammai. Shammai says your Kalim should be resting for you, but according to that, you can't even use a time switch. So we paskin like Hillel that your Kalim can do work. Your animals can't work for you on Shabbos, but your Kalim, you know, I'm not doing anything wrong. I set a time switch in motion. I go out of my house, I lock up. Everything happens by itself. It's automatic. So that is a question for answering machines and for fax machines. Can these things be left on Shabbos? The Cheshev Oifo Dan Padva didn't like the idea of fax machines being left on Shabbos in your business. But others, like the Beis Ovi, say it's okay if you're not actually doing any kinyan, and if there's no noise resulting from your machines, which can result in a zilzul to Shabbos, in an insult to the Shabbos. So the Shomer Tzionim Ba'alocha brings down from the Gemara in the Dorim, Rav Ashi, he sold forest wood to people who were using it for idolatrous purposes. They were worshipping fire. And he argued that most of the wood he was selling in any case wasn't for the idolatry, it was just for burning wood, it wasn't for Avodah Zarah, and there was a heta arising from this. And on the subject of Lifnei Iver, Moshe Feinstein did allow a caterer to provide his services at a place where mixed dancing was taking place, because he said, well, they'll just go to another caterer if this caterer doesn't provide his food. And the caterer, he's just serving the food, he's not facilitating the mixed dancing to take place. And he says this in Yerodei Chelek Alafayin Beis. So the question can be, is if you are providing a service on the internet, are there other internet sites which might be providing the same service? If there aren't, then there is a question, maybe you are over Lifnei Iver L'Siteng Michshel. But Sifrei Kodesh you can buy on Amazon.com as well as Feldheim. So that is the question, whether there is a Lifnei Iver.
Something's different from the size of the greatest article. I mean, Amazon.co.uk is not owned by Jews, and they can go and buy it, and somebody buy it. You know, they bought the foreign wholesale, and they're selling them.
Yeah, okay. That's right. Because in the case of the bank machine in Israel, If Bank Mizrahi say, well, if he doesn't draw out from our bank machine, they'll draw out from other bank machines, but the other banks are also Jewish. And if the other banks are also Jewish, then that Lifnei Iveh still remains. But if the other sites are Goyshe banks, then one can say, well, in any case, this fellow's going to draw out his money from a Goyshe bank, and therefore, there's no Lifnei Iveh from a Jewish bank. So you're right, that Amazon.com is not a Jewish website. I can buy on Amazon.com all sorts of Sifrei Kodesh, so therefore, Veldheim should not have to worry if somebody's buying a sefer from their website. That's the line of argument.
Is it possible that somewhere in the world it's a global site, it's not Shabbos, therefore, don't have to worry about shutting it down somewhere in the world?
Yeah, that's another point. We were going to discuss time zones briefly. I mean, if you've got a 3-day Yom Tov, you might have to argue that your website should be closed now for 5 days, because in Australia it'll be Shabbos when here it's Friday morning, and in America they're 5 hours behind, and so on and so forth. Yeah, so question of Hawaii, Honolulu, and so on. So over a span of 5 days there might be a Shabbos under Yom Tov. Does one perhaps say, okay, I'll give it to a goy. I'll give my business over to a goy, and he gets the profits on Shabbos. And in fact, it's a practical problem for people who are partners in firms. If you're an accountant in a big firm like Stoy Hayward, and there are partners who are working on Shabbos, and the firm is making profits on Shabbos, you as a partner have to make sure that you are not accruing any of the firm's profits on Shabbos. And you have to make a legal agreement with the other partners that the profits which are accruing to the firm on Shabbos and on Yom Tov are not coming to you. And there I got a friend who has made a legal agreement with the firm on that basis. So, can one do this? It does say in Arachayim Reshmem Gimel Aleph, if you don't rent out a bathhouse to a goy, because it's got the Jewish name on top, and it doesn't look right. If people know, however, that you always rent it out every year at a certain time, and the goy owns it at that time, then that might be okay. Or do we make a sign? Shall we put up a sign on the website to say that the order will not be processed on Shabbos? Would that be good enough?
Yeah. Well, what about shared dividends?
Shared dividends? What about stocks and shares? Yeah. What about renting out a flat? You're getting money which you're earning on Shabbos. Well, then you can argue Havlo as well, because you're getting the rest of the week. And what about bank interest? You put your savings into a savings account and you're getting your 3% interest or whatever it is, and you're getting that on Shabbos as well. Certainly, if you're putting it in on Friday afternoon and withdrawing it on Motzei Shabbos, then you've got a big problem that you are Schar Shabbos. But if it's over the whole week, then we're not particularly worried.
Mortgage on a daily rate.
Mortgage on a daily rate. You're paying mortgage, aren't you? we're not going to go that far, but these are questions. And it's important that if one does use a guy, he is not your agent. He is acting on his own, for his own benefit. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in a couple of places, Reish Mem Hei Dalad and Nun Dalad Nun Hei, that it's not a way, you don't keep a business open on Shabbos by having a guy running things for you, or by having automation. It's possible in many factories that things are so automatic that you could just close the door and let things run on their own and manufacture for you on Shabbos. And then you've got a very big haroma, a real cheating arising. I remember once when I worked with goyim, and one goy was talking to another, and he was telling this woman about how he used to be called out on Shabbos, on Saturdays, to switch on heaters and to put on lights. And she said to him, "You can't do that." She was a goy. She said, "You can't do that." He said, "Why not?" She said, "That's cheating." And that is, in fact, what Reb Moshe Feinstein says in Arachaim Chelek Dalet Zimun Nun Hey. It's a haroma. You can't run. Obviously, there are certain parameters. You can ask a goy to do things for you on Shabbos, cold weather, sick people, and so on. But it does bring us the question of zilzul the Shabbosah. You know, the Gemara Shabbos in Yuches talks about if you're allowing water to hose out onto your garden on Shabbos, you're just leaving it on from before Shabbos. So the Shulchan Aruch in Reishon Beis does allow this, that the hose is just carrying on Shabbos. But the wheat into the water mill, and the wheat finding its way into the water mill that it carries on mechanically, is not allowed on Shabbos. And Rashi says why? It's a zilzul because of the noise. People can hear it running. And therefore it's an insult to the Shabbos. So you can't have a dishwasher running on Shabbos. You can't have cleaning equipment running on Shabbos because it's a noise. But Reb Moshe Feinstein took a wider view. It's not just noise where you might say there is an insult to Shabbos. He spoke about having a timer for cooking purposes. If you're going to start cooking on Shabbos, you can't do that. That the timer comes on Shabbos in order to cook something that you got it fresh, that's an insult to Shabbos. And he says this is Chelek Dalad in the end of Simon Samach. And the Chelkas Yaakov says you can't have an answer phone taking orders on Shabbos, otherwise the whole factory could run automatically. But he says if your answer phone is on the whole week, when you're taking messages the whole week, okay, leave it on Shabbos. And Rav Stern, Rebbe Moshe, strongly disagrees with him allowing this heter. And he says in Chelek Vav in his Kuntras Electric Siman Nun that you can't have your answer phone on Shabbos. And I've got a good friend who runs a textile business, and he had somebody, actually a Jewish fellow, who after his work on Friday night when Shabbos was already in, would fax in his orders on Shabbos, because my friend's business was open on Sunday, so that he would come back Monday morning and hopefully he'll find his order delivered. So he was faxing his orders on Shabbos to my friend, and my friend phoned him up and said, after Shabbos and said, do me a favor, don't fax me on Shabbos. It's not right. You're a Jew, I'm a Jew, please don't do it. But if somebody does fax you on Shabbos, you're not doing anything wrong. I've closed up, I've locked up, I've just left it on, and I'm davening in shul now. If somebody faxes me, I can't help it. He might fax me before, he might fax me after. He's doing the Avera, not me. And am I doing an Avera? No, I'm not. So the general consensus which comes from the Rama is to be lenient on that. But the big question, the real big question about internet trading is the Kenyan. If I go into an internet site and I book a holiday or I buy an article and I'm filling in my credit card number, from what moment am I doing a Kenyan? If somebody is doing a Kenyan on Shabbos, then I, as the vendor selling on the internet, I am receiving money on Shabbos. That is a Schar Shabbos, and that must surely be forbidden.
6 days.
Oh. Right, how long does it take? That is the question. Certainly on the credit card statement which you get, it seems to show two dates. One, the date of the transaction, and two, the date that it actually went through.
That doesn't really help you, because that way you could say it takes 2 days and you can't do business on a Thursday.
Right. And what if Yom Tov is on the Thursday?
So is the Kenyan at the point where you get your receipt back to say that they've received your order and it's been accepted, because they can verify at that point? Is that the point when you make your Kenyan? The actual Kenyan.
Well, this is the big question. With this coming Yom Tov, we're going to have Pesach this year. Erev Pesach is going to be on a Shabbos. The first day Pesach will be Sunday, and the second day Pesach will be Monday, and then we got Chol HaMoed after that, when you're going to close your business in any case. So if you've got your stuff for sale and there are these Jewish sites selling, if somebody comes in on a Shabbos and buys a sefer from your website, you know, the money which comes into you might not be on Shabbos, but might be on the Monday. It's alright, the banks are closed Shabbos and Sunday. Certainly in most countries the banks are closed Shabbos and Sunday, so they won't process the transaction immediately, but on the Monday morning it will be processed. So, pardon? I didn't hear.
Isn't the same argument posting a letter on Friday afternoon?
Right. If you Shmir Shabbos Kechos allows you to post a letter on a Friday afternoon with a first class stamp, but if you send it special delivery, then it must arrive tomorrow. That, he says, is no good. So specifically ask the guy, please make sure you deliver this on Shabbos morning. You should not do.
I'm saying the same argument on posting a letter and clicking the pay button. It's in the hands of the guy, and when they post it, they post it.
Right, but when you are running a website, you're saying, well, look, I've got this website open the whole week. I'm not doing anything on Shabbos. I'm going to shul and I'm sitting and learning all day long. I'm not selling anything. There, people want to do their window shopping, okay, but if they want to buy on Shabbos, well, I'm not processing any orders on Shabbos. It's nothing to do with me. I'm not receiving among the money on Shabbos. So why should I worry about it? But this is the question, when is this Kenyan? And of course, we've got to remember that Kenyan might not just be with money. There are a number of ways of Kenyan. A Kenyan can be done with chazokah, when a person acts on his purchase. A Kenyan can be done with hagbor, when one lifts up the article, which is obviously later when the goods arrive. A Kenyan might be done with mashicha, when you leave an animal. Chalipin, an exchange. There is another sort of Kenyan we once discussed, Kenyan situnto, which can be just a handshake. In the jewellery market, they go mazel and bracha, they shake hands, and that is called, in many opinions, a Kenyan. So, Kesef, money, is not the only form. But it's very clear that money is a kinyan. Well, according to Rabbi Yochanan in the Gemara Bava Metzia Mem Zayin, kinyan kesef is min haTorah, and that is a fully valid acquisition. So is clicking the kinyan? Yes.
I think in English law, contract law, you've got to have not only an offer and acceptance, you also have a consideration for something as well.
But so that clicking is consideration. When you phone up and you buy something over the phone, they check.
You receive the goods as a consideration, but you don't want to pay the money.
I have paid over the phone for something,
it's
and they.
It's an invitation to trip.
I have already bought things over the telephone during the week where they say, hold on, we'll just check. And they do the card transaction while you're waiting on the phone, saying, yes, the money has now come through. The transaction has been successful. And I'm doing this over the telephone within 2 minutes.
That's half the deal until you get the goods.
Now, there is something that when the card owner is not present at the transaction, when you're in the shop, you give your card and they put it in and you key in your PIN. That is a transaction which is immediate. The money changes hands immediately. But it's true that when the card holder is not present, and you sometimes get afterwards in the post your credit card slip which says card holder not present, and for that online sale, what is actually happening? It's possible, if the card holder is not present, for the card holder to challenge that transaction afterwards, to say, it wasn't me, I didn't buy it. And then, what happens then? The onus of proof, the credit card companies put the burden of proof on the seller that that product was received by the customer. Namely, that when it arrives, you will sign for it, if it's not on Shabbos. And that is the proof which the credit card company will receive from the seller to show that the transaction took place. And that can be weeks later. It could be months later. If there is a delay, if it's sent by service mail and there's an argument. So they will pass on a signed delivery receipt that there's no chance of a dispute at the end of an undefined period of time. And there is another thing. And that is, when you buy something on the internet, you haven't had the chance to look at the goods, and therefore there are refund policies in place that when you get it, you might not be satisfied and you can send it back, and therefore they're saying that they will honour any refund because they will accept that it's not really yours until you receive it. So when is the kinyan? Is the sale final only after one gets the goods, there is a receipt, or when one lifts the item out from the box? And then there's another problem. There's a much bigger problem. I've only recently familiarized myself with eBay. Now, when you go on eBay and you buy on it, okay, you make a bid, and you're either successful in your bid or you're not successful in your bid. So there's a Rav Belsky who writes on this in America. He says that if you go on eBay and you make a bid and you're successful in your bid, all right, if it happens on Shabbos, then after Shabbos you'll pay for it. After Shabbos you'll receive it. No problem. But what if you make a proxy bid where at the moment the bid is running at £10 and instead of going 50 pence or £1 above, you go £1 above. What happens then? So I bid £20. What does eBay do? It shows that I have bid, but it only shows 50 pence or £1 above. So that other people can then go and bid, and as soon as they bid, eBay on your behalf jumps in and then immediately puts your bid up another pound. It doesn't divulge to the customer that you have bid £20. It only divulges to the customer that you've bid £10.50 or £11 when somebody else has bid for £10. And each progressive other bid will result in them automatically bidding on your behalf until the £20. So if the bidding closes on Shabbos, you've got a big problem. Because if the bidding closes on Shabbos, eBay is bidding on your behalf the final bid on Shabbos, and then the product becomes yours, and they will insist that it is yours and that you've done a kinyan. And Rabelsky says that is a big problem. That is a kinyan on Shabbos, so you need to check when you go on eBay and you make a higher proxy bid that the bidding does not finalize on Shabbos itself. You have to then contact the vendor, and you can email to the vendor on eBay, and say, could you please extend your final bidding time till 7 p.m. or whatever it is, which is after Shabbos, because otherwise you have a problem. And eBay is becoming very well used. I know somebody who bought a Sefer Torah on eBay, And at the moment there are two Sifrei Torah for sale on eBay. So this is no joke. We're not just buying hi-fi stereos on eBay.
What about if the deal is finalized on the Sunday, you put the proxy, and on the Saturday you reach the bid that nobody else is bidding anymore against you? That's your last bid.
Well, yeah, you've made your bid, but you haven't done any business on Shabbos. eBay is telling you after Shabbos that your bid has been successful. I mean, it's a question with auctions generally, I know, but...
they bid on your behalf on Shabbos.
But you made the actual bid for £20 on Friday. And there was no contract. Shabbos comes along, nobody else has bid. You made a bid on Friday. They notify you, which you receive Motzei Shabbos, that your bid has been successful. He says, no problem. There are other issues. Amazon.com have a system where they're not only selling their own books, but they're selling books on behalf of other booksellers. They call it consignment. So that is also a problem, because as soon as you buy from them on that particular deal, they pass that money immediately to the bookseller on whom they are acting for. And Rabbi Akiva Eger writes in his Shalat Shuvas in the Ksovim Kufnon Tess, that even if money is not yet transferred, a kinyan might still be taking place, and that sort of kinyan is forbidden on Shabbos. Now, Rav Heinemann in Baltimore initially wrote that websites should be closed on Shabbos, because he was under the impression that clicking can automatically charge against the credit card. But then it was drawn to his attention that there is a delay, the banks are closed Saturday, Sunday, we don't quite know when the deal is exactly taking place. And therefore, he wrote again on this, there's the sort of Kashrus news, K. Karentz, or whatever they call it in Baltimore, being more lenient, but he said there's still a problem with Yom Tov. Now, according to Reb Shmuel Gniewicz, who writes in the Journal of Halacha a letter on this subject, he wrote that the retailer can't charge the credit card until a shipping memo has been produced by FedEx or UPS or one of these big firms who do the delivery, and when they have a shipping memo, only then can the buyer take your money from your credit card. There could be a lapse of 7 days, and if 7 days go by without a shipping confirmation, the credit card authorization lapses and it's null and void, and they have to come back to you again. So if the business is closed on Shabbos, there's certainly no shipping confirmation, because if you've got your own Jewish warehouse and your orders are coming in, you're not going to send out anything. You're not going to get a shipping confirmation from FedEx or UPS. So he says, Avada, there's definitely no kinyan taking place on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Anyway, this shaila has come fairly recently before the Adas Beis Din about having websites open on Shabbos. I spoke to Rav Chaim Halpern-Schlieter, and he said that the Adas Beis Din of London are lenient on the subject on the basis of a tshuva given by Dayan Weiss in the Minchas Yitzchok. Chelik Gimel, Simon Lamadalad, he writes about vending machines which sell drinks or confectionery or cigarettes, which are left in a public place on Shabbos, like on the street, and there's no indication whatsoever to members of the public that such a machine is Jewish owned. He's asked, do we need to stop this machine being there in its place on Shabbos? And he says an amazing number of chidushim. He says, bearing in mind that this is on an Issur Derabbanon, he says that the owner of the machine can stipulate that whoever buys from one's own machine on Shabbos, I'm already makne to that person before Shabbos comes in. I'm already saying that lamafreya, what I own and what I'm going to be selling from that machine, I'm leaving it there the whole week. I don't care. I'm not going to move it around Shabbos. In fact, I might be miles away. So I have in mind that whoever is going to buy from my machine, I already give him, I makne to him now before Shabbos. And that person who buys on Shabbos, the money that he pays, I am not acquiring that money. I have the kavanah not to receive that money till after Shabbos. Ah, you might argue kinyan chotzer is kona, but because that money is in my premises, I'm already acquiring that money. So he says, you're allowed to have a kavanah negdis to say that although my money is acquired at the moment it enters my premises, I can have the stipulation that I'm not going to make a kinyan on the money till after Shabbos. And he bases this on the Mishnah Lamelech in Perek Beis, Hilchas Sechia, Perek Yudzayin, and Hilchas Gezeila, that there is no kinyan taking place. And in addition, he bases his view on a note of Behuda Ma'adura Tanino Os Kafvov, that there is no real Schar Shabbos, because he applies a din of Havlah, and this is an amazing Kiddush, that the Havlah is that it's only the profit which is the Schar Shabbos, it's not the cost price. So he puts together all your cost price deals and says the only money coming in on Shabbos is from your cost price, and he says I can do this on a din d'rabbanon of Schar Shabbos. So he's got a number of conditions, that it's in a public place, that there's no inyan of Zilzal Shabbos and people say this is Jewish owned, no one knows it's Jewish, that you have in mind that your kinyan is after Shabbos and the buyer's kinyan is before Shabbos, and that there is this havlah. And it's an amazing chiddush which Dain Weiss writes in Chelek Gimel Siman Lamed Dalet. And it's on that basis Rav Chaim told me that the Beis Din of the Adas allow you to leave your website operating on Shabbos, but you should add something on your website. You should say on it something to the extent that orders which are made on Sabbaths and holy days will not be processed until after those days. And he says that way you're okay. And the Maharshag writes that the vendor doesn't really know when customers will use his machine, and there are those who will say that provided that your vending machine is stocked up by Thursday, and this is written in fact in connection with the bank cash machine, try to stack it up by Thursday, so maybe it'll be emptied out by Friday. Yes?
Whereby if it was a vending machine you don't want it to be known as Jewish owned, but on the website you're then saying don't use it on Shabbos, you're then telling everyone
what it is. You might say Shabbos, you might say public holidays and religious and various festivals.
Yeah, it's not
a
contradiction.
Would you be specific about Jewish holidays, or would you be specific about public holidays and other
Jewish holidays?
Yeah,
holidays.
You see, with with the vending machine in the street and it's not on Jewish premises, it wouldn't say on it some Heimish name on the machine. It's not called something which is an insult to Shabbos. There is a difference. A website is regarded, it seems, as something which is a bit more hidden than a machine on the street. Somebody has to actively go into the Feldheim website. Somebody has to actively go into the Art Scroll website. If they then see something on it which says orders will not be processed until after religious days, then bearing in mind what we've discussed about kinyan, that there is no real kinyan in that you're not receiving the money on Shabbos, then there is a heter. But if a machine is outside the Jewish shop, the Be'er Moshe says it's osur. And the Chelkas Yaakov writes in Chelek Beis Kuf Beis that the items should be inserted in the machine by Thursday. So there are various issues. We briefly touched before on time zones. We haven't got any time left, to give the pun. But clearly, the principle is that Shabbos is what's your Shabbos. Your Shabbos is what starts in the place that you are in, at Shkiyas HaChamot, and what carries on till nightfall. You might have a factory which is operating in New York, and you might be in Israel, right? So your Shabbos comes in Israel, and it's still Friday afternoon in New York, and your factory is open. Do you have to close your factory down on the basis that you are in Israel? No. Your Shabbos is in Jerusalem, if you are in Jerusalem. Your business has to stop before sundown in Jerusalem. What goes on in New York, all right, it's a Jewish-owned factory, but in New York it's not Shabbos. So you have to concern yourself with the place that you're at. Similarly, I can go into a website which is... Or I can buy a holiday. There's kosher shipping cruises you can buy in Jewish firms on the website. You go after Havdalah into these sites. They're in America. You can buy from them. You're not doing anything wrong. You've made Havdalah. It's not your Shabbos anymore. That's the principle of time zones. So what we have is a relatively new subject with some very interesting principles, but it shows us how Torah has its permanence, that the raw principles of Halacha, which have been formulated thousands of years ago, apply to any modern circumstances in this day and age. And all we need to do is to use those methods in a logical way to show how the halacha can apply to any day and age. To disable the link to?
For the payment section.
Well, certainly, you can allow your site to do window shopping, and you are able to close the payment section. But the question we've asked is, are you mechuyev to close that payment section? And the psak is that, well, preferably, it is a nice thing to do. What Art Scroll do is a kiddush Hashem, there's no question about it. By closing their website on Shabbos, they are displaying to the world there is an idea of Shabbos and we're not working 7 days a week, etc., etc. But if it's difficult to close the website and the payment facility on Shabbos, the Beis Din are saying you don't have to. Particularly if you make that stipulation on the website, the payments will not be processed.
Emails
are the same story. You can send an email, you can send a fax to a place where it is Shabbos, provided that it's not your Shabbos. Same idea.
Can I just add something about the banking, which you said, you know, on Shabbos, banks closed. That might not apply if you did something like PayPal, which is 24/7. If you pay for something with PayPal on Saturday, it goes from your account to the seller's account instantly, regardless of the day of the week. They do not close any day of the year.
So PayPal are the agents. You mean they're not on your website? If you give a PayPal facility,
yeah,
people will buy, then the money comes immediately to you on Shabbos.
Yeah, in the same way that the money goes to the vending machine on Shabbos. It's your
well, that's a very interesting thing, because what we've said about the delays and the refund policies and so on would not then apply. If you receive a PayPal payment on Shabbos, then following this psak of Dayan Weiss, you can stipulate that any payment which comes into my account on Shabbos, I'm not formally acquiring with a kinyan until Shabbos goes out.
Because you can't turn off your PayPal account. I have one.
You can't turn it off at all.
Your PayPal account goes into your PayPal account and gets drawn down into your. It can get drawn down into your.
All intents and purposes, the PayPal account is no different from a current account. Credit card and a PayPal account, you can spend money on it.
It's like a current account.
Well, I appreciate you brought this up because it didn't come up in the bits of research I was doing. If you run your site where you are not taking the payments directly, but you appoint PayPal as your agents, and PayPal are receiving that money on your behalf, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, that money comes through PayPal immediately to you. Following, though, this chiddush of Dayan Weiss, you can have kavona negdis and say, I am not being kone any money on Shabbos. It's a chiddush, but it's there.
So on their vending machine,
yes.
Somebody buys a drink on Shabbos, the money is going to the machine.
Yes.
You are saying this is still not my money until after Shabbos.
That's right. So I am not kone that money until after Shabbos, even though it's in my chotzer. Yes.
If somebody buys a drink in the morning,
and it's not considered.
And then somebody in the afternoon breaks into the machine, you are not allowed to for your money.
Somebody breaks into the machine, takes the money Shabbos afternoon,
it's not your money.
Then by the time Shabbos is out, you haven't been able to kone the money. You can't claim it on the insurance. What you can claim on the insurance, with Havlah namely, is all the money which came into the machine before Shabbos.
If you were a non-Jew on a website and the non-Jew keeps up Shabbos and you receive some money, is it not allowed?
Right, so who is Jewish and who is not Jewish?
So they're making they own a website and
you mean they're partners?
Yeah. And the non-Jew owns the website. The non-Jew opens the website on Shabbos.
Yes.
And the Jew receives the money on Shabbos. Is it not allowed?
You're quite right. It's not allowed. What you have to do is, if you are the Jewish owner and you have a partner who's not Jewish, then you have to draw up an agreement with him and say to him, look, the money which comes in on Shabbos is yours, and the money which comes in on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday can be mine. Or half the week is mine, half the week is yours, however you decide to do it.
Yeah.
But that money which comes in on Shabbos and Yom Tov is his only, and you can't touch it. It's not yours.
It's a very, very good question.
Thanks, Matt. Thank you for taking it.